Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Sunday Sin
Bin. We do it thanks to Sea-Doo. See things differently with Sea-Doo. Gordon Tallis, James Hooper, Maroon, and joined this hour for the final hour of the show ahead of the kickoff. Ryan Girdler, welcome
on. Good afternoon, boys. Great to be on board.
Don't know if you're listening, but you just got to run on confidential with Hoops.
I had a bit of a listen, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think Jake the Snake's that quick on the uptake. He needs to read between the lines a little bit. Sure, we've got the den, but we're never selling a baby seat. We're asking people to come around, but he just didn't get it. The baby seat's always there in the back. If we get someone like Jake, the rest of them just come through and enjoy the festivities.
Yeah. Well, we know what you do in front of that fireplace. You revealed that last night.
Yeah. Well, we start at the fireplace, move down to the den maroon.
When things get a little bit too hot.
That's exactly right.
All right. Now, before we go back to rugby league, Conor McGregor has just lost his fight against Dustin Poirier, and he's just blown up like a secondhand lawnmower. Mm. Have a listen to what Conor McGregor's had to say.
I was boxing the bleeding head off him, kicking the bleeding leg off him. You will surely do it to close the distance. This is not over. If we had to take this outside with him, it's all outside. We don't give a bollocks.
He said that he believes that one of the kicks that he checked is what broke your leg.
There was no check. There was not one of them I checked. Your wife is in me DMs. Hey, baby, hit me back up on Saturday later on. We'll be at the after party, the Win Nightclub, baby.
Now, just bear in mind he's doing all that with a broken leg.
How good's his accent?
Oof.
Can we get an interpreter as well?
I couldn't. I don't know.
He's trying to save face, isn't he?
Of course. Yeah. The reality, good. I think he's only won one fight in the last 5 years. So
since Barack Obama was president.
That would have been a blow for him today, losing like that.
Are you a fan of Conor McGregor's Hoops? Or?
Yeah, it's stages. Yeah, I like him early doors when he first sort of hit the scene. But like I say, he hasn't had a lot of fights in recent times, and I think against Floyd Mayweather, that was always only ever a money-making exercise for Conor, and since then, he's been relatively inactive.
Yeah.
But he's an entertainer.
Yeah, like
He's a big personality. He's a character.
All right, Ryan, we're going to talk about some matters of rugby league with you, and sorry, Hoops, you got something to add?
Yeah, just the Sharks and the Warriors are playing this afternoon at Kogra, and when they have arrived, the Warriors have had to stay on the bus for a little while. The coast is clear now, problem solved, but one of the employees of the stadium had been a casual contact with somebody in Sydney who had attended an essential services supermarket, and as a result of that, they had to clean the whole ground, make sure everything was tickety-boo, and the Warriors are now all off the bus, on deck, and ready to rock and roll in terms of the game. So beautiful. Good news there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very important game for both those clubs. Just to go back to what we started about, I'll just give you an opportunity, Hoops, to catch up on this, because I know the NRL Commission are meeting right now about relocating everybody. Do you know anything yet, mate, or do you need to catch up on that?
No, look, the meetings will be ongoing all afternoon. There'll either be a decision later this evening or first thing tomorrow about the next steps for the competition. It will go ahead, but it's a matter of where the clubs are going to be located. Strong suggestions, Southeast Queensland, regional New South Wales, possibly even Victoria.
Okay. And if you've just joined us the last hour of the show, obviously State of Origin Game 3 has been moved to the Gold Coast to Cbus Super Stadium. And again, Hoops, I believe that's because, well, Newcastle in the end really didn't want it. Have I got that right?
In terms of what are you talking about? Newcastle didn't want it.
Bringing COVID to Newcastle exposing COVID.
The New South Wales government, your ears are painted on sometimes, Anthony. Right. The New South Wales government told the NRL yesterday, guys, we're not comfortable, given all the COVID developing situation in Sydney at the moment, we're not comfortable having a crowd at State of Origin 3 in Newcastle. Mm. As a result of that, the NRL went, okay, well, hang on. Well, if we can't have a crowd there, then is it worth playing the game there? Or should we take the game somewhere else, southeast Queensland, up where Gordon is at the moment, and they haven't got any COVID problems up there?
Absolutely
so
beautiful.
So they can have a full house at, as you like to call it, Fortress Robina.
Yep.
And the game will go ahead.
Okay. And, of course, the NRL set to relocate. If we hear any more about that before we go off air, we'll keep you up to date with that. We haven't had much of an opportunity to talk about that Roosters game against the Dogs last night. We called that one for you. How did you see that one, Hoops? You were there on the sideline?
I thought Jared Waerea-Hargraves submitted an absolute brilliant performance in terms of a captain's knock. The Roosters were down on troops. No James Tedesco, no Angus Crichton. Victor Radley back was huge for them, heavily involved in the middle of the field. Great ball playing as a middle forward. But, yeah, Jared, the way that he led that side last night was so exemplary, Anthony. And it was what I found interesting. You know, at times, Jared, he plays, he read lines, he plays right on the edge. But last night, Gordon, it looked as though he'd had a yak with Trent Robinson during the week, and Robbo said, listen, I want you to be yourself, but I just don't want you to tip over the edge. You got to be there to lead the side the entire 80 minutes. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, I forget what game it was. In the early rounds, he went overboard. He gave away a penalty. He went silly, and he cost his team. But since that moment, he's been in absolutely outstanding form. Was it his 250th game? He was the best player on the field. He played 80 minutes. He got through a mile of work, and it's really hard because you want him to go to that red line, but he's got that great mix at the moment, hasn't he, with just experience, and he's just such an intimidator, and he's just one of those guys that you'd love to pack down with. Like, he's just, mate, he goes about his job, he's getting long in the tooth, he's in the toughest position on the field, but he keeps on producing. And if he wasn't out there for the Roosters, gee whiz, you'd hate to see what some of the scorelines would be.
Hey, Gordy, I'd be interested to know what you thought of him at the start of his career. Obviously, he's turned into be one of the, you know, the best front rowers to ever come through the Roosters system, but he was at a couple of different clubs. He spent some time at Manly. He came in, he looked at the beginning of his career like he was a little bit hit and miss. What did you make of his early days, and how has he matured into the guy that he is now?
Well, I think he was trying to act tough in his early sort of part of his career. He was there, he was trying to be this intimidator, but he was trying to do it with push and shove, and now he's just done it with tough carries and, you know, just getting about his business. And, like Petro and Shane Webke are two, and Glenn Lazarus, well, they're the three. They just did it with their performance by just the energy that they played with for 80 minutes. And that's how you get it. And I think he's learnt that, you know. He's got older, he's more mature, and he just, mate, just by being out there and carrying the ball strong, sends the strongest message. I think early he was trying to hit blokes and push and trying to stand over and bully people, and he didn't need to do it. He could bully them when he had the football, and he's doing that now.
Now, a late exclusion from the doggy side was Kyle Flanagan. Yep. In fact, there was a late exclusion or a late starter. I think Renoff for Tony started. Joe Stimson came back to the bench, and they might be in some trouble for that. That's the first thing.
Yeah, the NRL will give them a breach notice, and they'll cop a fine for it. So whether it's, I don't know, whether it's $1,000, $5,000, whatever it is, but they named Renoff for Tony to begin on the bench, and Joey Stimson was meant to start in the back row, but that isn't the way that they ran out. Of course, you've got to submit your team sheet, official team sheet, an hour before kickoff, and if you don't adhere to it, well, the NRL can clip you with a fine. So that's what's going to happen to the Dogs there. In relation to Flanagan, look, he was at the venue last night at Bankwest Stadium, but it became clear when they got off the bus that he wasn't going to be playing. Trent Barrett said in his interview prior to the game that they'd made the decision earlier in the week. They liked what Lachlan Lewis could bring in terms of his left foot kicking game. And we saw that last night. Scored a great chip and chase try when he spotted Joey Manu. Wasn't where he should have been in terms of his positional play. And as a result of that, I'll be surprised if we see young Flanagan in the NRL again, unless the Dogs get hit with a raft of injuries and suspensions or whatever. I'd be surprised if he plays at Canterbury again.
Mm. Gee, that would be sad to see him go out the back door like that. Could he pick up his career in the Super League, or you don't think another club might be interested to sign him?
Yeah, he, Super League, absolutely. And look, perhaps, you'd never say never. Look at Matt Dufty. Mm. He's just signed with the Bulldogs, and it looked as though for a period of time he went down and had a look at Canberra. We thought the Raiders were going to make a play for him. They opted to prioritise a halfback.
Mm.
Young Bailey Simonson started to put some good performances in the number one jumper as well. They got Chance Nickel-Klokstad still to come back, so they went another direction. But now Dufty gets an opportunity at the Bulldogs. So, yeah, you'd never say never, but I just think that that sign last night that they went with Lachlan Lewis, that was only his third game in the NRL this season. And look, he's had some head knocks and he's had some other injury issues, but I felt as though that was a bit of a showing of the hand from Canterbury.
Okay, back just quickly to Origin before we take a break. We haven't got your thoughts really, Gerds, on Origin coming up on Wednesday night, the new halves combination of Moses and White, and it's a big opportunity for Mitch and obviously for Jack White. Well, it hasn't been his best year.
Oh, club land it hasn't been, but he's earned the right. I'm glad that they gave him the opportunity at six. We know what kind of player he can be, and at rep level he always delivers. So it's good to see him get an opportunity. Yeah, with Mitch, I'm really happy for him. You know, it's been he's always kind of been sitting there in the wings and hasn't probably been able to put an NRL start of the season together the way that he would have liked to really press for selection. Again, this year he sort of comes in and out of games too much, and he's got a we've got a wonderful seven for New South Wales that's going to be there for the hell of a long time now. So this is an opportunity that I'm sure he'll savour. I think the challenge for him is New South Wales got such a complex style where they've got, you know, four or five different guys that come into first receiver all the time. And so he's going to need to make sure that he works his way into the contest, doesn't overplay his hand. He's not going to need to. but he just needs to sit back and make sure that they direct around the field where they need to go, because probably that's not one of Jack's strength, so he's going to need to make sure his game management's there. Let a lot of the other people do the creative stuff. Let Teddy come in, let Turbo come in, let Latrell come in, even Isaiah Yeo. He's going to have to get used to playing with those guys in the middle on the back of a dummy half that he's never worked with before as well. And just make sure at the back end of the sets, because I think Queensland have got a really good side, like a lot better attacking side, a side that can cause New South Wales a lot more defensive error issues. Especially with having, you know, Ponga coming into first receiver, a dummy half, Ben Hunt, who's in good form and is always looking to run. So I think he just needs to go about his business, not get too, it's going to be an emotional night for him, but make sure that he keeps it all in check and gets good kicks away and chases hard and works hard on his defence, because he'll get tested out there and it's a quick game. So I'm looking forward to watching him, actually. It's sad to see Nathan and Jerome out, but given guys at this stage of their career an opportunity is always fun to watch.
In terms of the organisational element of his game, Gerds, do you feel as though since he's gone to Parramatta, and particularly since he's worked as closely as what he has with Andrew Johns, that we've seen a gradual and steady improvement in Mitch in that department? Or
yeah, I would say that, but I just think he's also a guy that, like you saw him a couple of weeks ago, when he runs the football, he's so dangerous. So he's not a guy that can always be conscious of where the team needs to be and how they get there. I think sometimes he's a guy that when he looks up and he sees opportunity, he needs to be able to react as well. And I'm not sure he's ever really been able to balance that out and be that player that maybe everyone thinks that he should be. He doesn't generally like to drift across and play both sides of the field. He stays on his side. So he's just a different style of player. He's a halfback with a great running game. Defensively, I think he's gotten a lot better in those areas. And I think working with Joey's helped his composure and helped his kicking game. But I think he's always going to be a guy that when he sees an opportunity, has a crack at it. And I don't think that's a bad thing. It's just how he handles pressure, I think, as well. Hoops, like especially in some of the bigger games when he's been tested and he needs to play off the back foot and you take that opportunity for him to run away. And then all of a sudden he's got to think about team first. Where do they need me to be? What kick do we need? And not coming up with the big play or the big pass. Sometimes I think he gets caught in, I need to do something that's fantastic here and I need to get a result, as opposed to what's the best thing for the team? How can we just stay in the contest? And I know things will turn if we do.
Hey, Gerds, for the Panthers supporters, you being a Penrith great, now obviously whatever happens, they're going to have to do a few weeks without Nathan and Luai. How are they going to handle those few weeks?
Yeah, well, they've got some pretty tight replacements in there. Matty Burton, we've seen now, will come in and maybe play six. May played a little bit in there as well over the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure how, you know, how they thought that experiment went. But look, as long as these guys come back at around 90 or 100% for the back end of the season, they've put themselves in a really strong position. They're going to finish in the top four now.
Yeah.
They might lose sight of that minor premiership if they drop one or two more games, because we know, you know, Melbourne are on a good run at the moment. But it's going to give guys an opportunity to go in there, play with some really good people around them, and potentially if something happens to one of those key players at the back end of the year, they're going to come in with a bit of confidence and a little bit of form under their belt. Mm. So it's not ideal, but if you're going to get injuries, you may as well get them now through this Origin period, because there is a little bit of a dip in the season, and then make sure that you get four or five games in before the finals, and then away you go.
Okay, Gerds, Hoops, go on. Sorry,
Gordy. Can I just ask Gerds a question? You guys were the last one to do the whitewash, the 3-0. You know, I found it really hard, and that's why we got flogged in the last game. It was really hard to get motivated for it because we had already lost the we'd already lost the trophy, and then I got in trouble from the NRL. I said, why do we have to play a third game? Because we've lost it. Just give them the trophy and let's concentrate on some club footy. How did you guys focus?
I think having success, Gordy, at that level in the first two games just makes it all so enjoyable. It takes, you know, how much pressure Origin is. And even game one, you win game one, it takes a hell of a lot of pressure off game two. And sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad thing, because you've always got that mindset of, oh, we got the third one if we need it. Yeah. And you know when the teams are close, and they're generally over a year, that the opposition that's lost that first one playing for, you know, everything on the line on game two. So you can get caught with your pants down. But, you know, it's a unique situation to go in with the series one. It's just fun, and I mean, that's what you saw with the hand grenade and things like that, and that's always being sort of construed as, oh, that was a shot at Queensland or whatever. It might have gone wrong.
Because that was a competition at the time. Remember,
but that was like, what it was, exactly.
Like now there's post-try celebrations. Yep. We didn't really see it at that level, but we didn't. But no one had put 50 points on another.
Yeah, and it was just a really enjoyable week with absolutely no pressure, and a bunch of guys that really enjoyed each other's company came together well, and the result of that was the performance we put in game three. We really thoroughly enjoyed playing together, and we knew we had a really good side that had created something special, and all of that just created the energy and the momentum to go into that game three on the back of Gordy coming out and saying, you know, why do we need to play? We knew that. Wayne Bennett came out because the Broncos had seven or eight players in the Origin side. Obviously, they went on to win the comp in 2000, so they had their mind somewhere else. So they all contributed to the fact that we went on and played pretty well and had a convincing win.
Hoops.
It was a great series, that series, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first two games were really close, mate. Like, they had a red-hot side when you think about, you know, you go through some of the players that played in that 2000 series for them. So for us to be able to, you know, go and achieve something like that, I think we had Joey on the bench at that point as well. So that's how well, some of our key playmakers were going. You got sent off in game one.
Yeah, we should have won that game.
You got binned for the Billy. Yeah, you got sent for the Billy.
And then in game two, Joey and Bedsy and these guys, there was a masterclass. I think it was 25-12. And it was probably one of the hardest games I've ever played.
Yeah, that was game two up at Lang Park.
It was really tough. It was fast. It was, you know. So, and then game
that wasn't
three.
An easy series. People were, they might compare it to this series now, but at no means was it clear cut like this one. This one's been totally dominant. The third one was a blowout. Really the first two could have gone either way.
Yeah, just on that third game, like, we all remember that post-try celebration led by Brian with a Y Fletcher. Mm. But just a call to arms to all the current NRL players at the moment. If you score a try, if you get across the stripe, do a post-try celebration, because every time that you do one, $5,000 to Mossy Masoi through the Men of League Foundation, right? Sportsbet are the ones who are throwing the money in. So just, we've seen plenty of players already engage in it. The South boys were right into it the other night. And we've seen plenty of other clubs. I've seen Newcastle. I've seen, you know, they've already raised a hell of a lot of money. But Mossy's obviously got a hell of a lot of challenges on his plate at the moment, and he's doing the best as he can in testing circumstances. But to all the players, celebrate if you get across the line, because all the money's going to Mossy.
Good on you, Hoops. Good reminder of that. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about today's game. We've got it to Raging Bull too, thanks to Apricity Finance, as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 minutes till a kickoff between the Warriors and the Sharks. We'll have that game for you live on the Triple M Network. We're doing a thing called Open Slather. Our number is 133353. Yeah. So you can call that number now, and if there's anything you want to get off your chest, rugby league related, maybe it's not rugby league related, it's just something going on in life that you want to ask us about. 133353, Open Slather, and we call you back. And we've been thinking about you a bit, Gerds, too, because obviously you're in the you know, the business of running the coffee shops, Girdlers, and I mean, obviously, it just closes you down, all this nonsense.
Well, we go back to takeaway, but there's a lot of people in our industry, a lot of industries that are heavily affected by this, who feel like that there's been no plan put in place by the government. So we're all our overheads are continually building on a weekly basis, and we're getting into more and more debt. And we just don't know how that's going to be resolved, unfortunately. Yep. And so we've got another week of lockdown. The Northern Beaches did an extra 4 weeks at Christmas time, which is our busiest time of year, which put us in a real hole. So we were just trying to recover from that period without any government support, because in that period, because it was isolated to the beaches, you know, no rent relief, no ATO, no relief from any of the government agencies. So we're just trying to recover from that, and then to go into this latest holiday period, still trying to make up from the Christmas period and be hit with this. It's disastrous, mate. Yeah, I don't know how, you know, we're going to come out of it, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, well, mate, I hope
and when we come out of it, I don't know, because no one seems to have a plan. And there's been absolutely no government support so far for anyone in those small businesses. There's been the $10,000 grant, which helps some of the smaller operators. But if you're a sort of medium-sized operation, $10,000 without, you know, with all due respect, doesn't do a bloody thing, to be honest. Mm. So we're pissed, you know, and we need some answers, and something's got to change. Otherwise, the economy or the local economy is just going to be absolutely screwed.
Move your coffee shops up to Queensland.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a silly idea, Gordon, but you guys can be a little reactive at times as well.
Exactly,
so. Who knows what the answer is? You know, I know everyone's in a really tough situation, Maroon, don't get me wrong, but I think there needs to be a little bit more planning and foresight for what's happening with how we come out of this, and what the local businesses actually need to make sure that, you know, there are places open for people to go to when we do come out of lockdown, because at this point, everyone I've spoken to in the industry probably won't be.
Yeah, well, I guess I don't know which your main outlet is, but the one that I go to the most is the one opposite the beach in DY.
Yeah, that's the main one.
You would have seen a lot of small businesses along there just fold, I guess.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, we saw that at Christmas time. It happened up there, and there's been a lot of all of the local members of Manly are actually pleading to Gladys and the local New South Wales government, saying that, you know, you need to be mindful of the businesses that, you know, aren't directly impacted by the cases at the moment. You know, are there ways that some of the Illawarra places could open up, and some of the Northern Beaches places could open up and just start trading, because the rent's still there, all the payrolls taxes are still there, everything's still there that we're paying, but we don't have anywhere near the turnover to come in to generate enough income to pay the debts, and they're just building up to the point where, you know, it's getting really uncomfortable.
Yeah, getting really small, mate. I hope we open up as quick as possible. And one more reason to support small business in your area. Right now it's time for this. Yes, and thank you very much to the team of Apricity Finance who've delivered me a lovely hamper through the week and said, hope you're surviving through COVID. Thank you very much to everybody at Apricity, APRICITY. Turn your workflow into cash flow with an invoice finance facility from Apricity Finance. Call 1-300-APRICITY. Here is the Raging Bull.
Oh, thank you, Anthony. That's the greatest intro ever. You talking about cash?
Yes.
Love it.
No, I know.
No, look, obviously I'm not sticking up for the players here. You know, Jai Arrow, the Dragons, the Bulldogs players, for going out there and breaking what the government has put in place. But I just think it's a little bit unfair. With the game in such a rush to get back in, I think the deal that we've done for the players, I think, is a little bit too harsh. When they can go to training 20 hours a week and wrestle each other and, you know, be sweaty and do that and go out and play a game of footy. But if they can't go back to their mate's place and have a beer, if that's so-called in the bubble, if you go back there and that is essentially being in the bubble, I think that we've negotiated rules that are a little bit too hard for the players. And I think that when it's time and the government, you know, lifts restrictions, and if the government go, no, there's only allowed five, I think you should be allowed to have five if you stay in the bubble. And I think it's a little bit too much asking when, you know, everybody now, we talk about mental health, we talk about this, they can't go get fish and chips and sit down on the beach and just live a normal life. And I get it that the game and the show has to go on, but I think what we have negotiated for them, I think, is a little bit unfair.
But Gordy, no one at the moment in the greater Sydney region is allowed to have anybody over. No one. You're not allowed to have, aside from your family, you can't have anyone else at your house.
But
we'd all love,
when it does go on and I can go
and
walk the streets, I can go get a coffee, I can go take my dog. Dogs were sitting down here in Brisbane, mate, when they closed down. They were getting walked four times a day. You know, so everybody's out and about and doing whatever they want. So if you can do it, I think it's a little bit hard for the players and they're recognised and the people that double them in. Live by the rules of what the government... I think as a game, sometimes we're asking them to do a little bit too much.
I think they just mirrored society, to be honest, boys. I mean, the lax attitude that everyone's taken to that first couple of weeks of lockdown were based on the fact that the message just wasn't delivered strong enough. It wasn't important enough. You know, like, I remember going into the lockdown at the beginning of last year and even the Christmas one we had on the beaches where there was rangers around, there was people telling you to move on, couldn't eat, couldn't sit down. You go to any of the beachfronts there, there's people absolutely everywhere. Mm. So society has basically taken the piss out of this last lockdown, for the first couple of weeks.
Well, in fairness, they're reacting to the fact that, as you just pointed out with your blow-up about small business, rightly so, people are frustrated.
Absolutely.
There's so much indecision. It's policy on the run.
But
there's
keep
no
us at home or let us out. Don't do a little bit of everything. Keep everyone happy.
Well,
and don't try and, as a government, tell all the local business that you can stay open, but no one's allowed to come. Just say you don't need to compensate them at the end of the day when they come saying, well, you closed me down. I know I didn't. Mm. I didn't close you down. I'm not going to compensate you.
Yeah, like the two states that I went to, I think New South Wales and Queensland, we did the right thing. So when they told us to stay in, we did, right? So we got rid of the first bit of COVID. Mm. And the rest of the strains have been let in from our government with the international travellers. They've had enough time. They've had over 18 months to get home. If they're serious about stopping it here and we're all isolating here, stop letting it in.
Yeah, I agree, Gordon.
Well,
on your blow up with in relation to the players, I understand where you're coming from, Gordy, but I think where the Dragons took the piss was their coach and their general manager of
football. But I just think we've got to renegotiate that they should have a little bit more leniency. If they're going over
their
mate's
place...
Well,
if we move the comp up your way, then after a couple of weeks of tight restrictions, they will be lifted.
Yes.
Absolutely. I just love the way you guys are going about this. It's real talkback stuff, this, and we'll have...
it's a real issue, Maroon.
You look like Phil Donahue at the moment.
Yeah, Phil Donahue.
Yeah, I've had that before. 1-3-3-5-3. A poor man's... Phil Donahue.
I thought it was Jerry Springer with a haircut.
At least I've got hair. Fester. Anyway, Open Slather is 133353, but that's thanks to Apricity Finance, the Raging Bull, 1-300-APRICITY. Ryan Girdler, James Triceps Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. We're going to do Open Slather next. If you want to get involved, 133353 is the number to call. That's Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back. We are very close to kickoff, 15 minutes or 20 minutes away from the Warriors taking on the Sharks. Dan Ginnane's going to call that one for you, and Origin 2 on Wednesday night here on Triple M. So if you were maybe listening to the radio because you can't get in front of the telly, you're working Wednesday night. We've got the best call team in the business, Origin Legends, and they will get together to call that game for you Wednesday night on the Triple M you are listening to or the listener app. And a big g'day to everybody at Sea-Doo. I've just had a text here from our man, Mark Spud Carroll, who says, boys, soon as this COVID nonsense over, he's going to get all his Sea-Doo brothers and sisters. We can all go up to his joint at Bayview and they'll get on the Sea-Doos and they'll dink us up to Woi Woi for lunch. So that sounds like a good...
Yeah, he drops them in on the northern beaches and then, it's only a hop, skip and a jump up to the sunny coast.
Yeah, what do you mean he drops them in?
I don't know. He drops the jet skis.
Oh,
in.
Right. I've heard that Spud's actually having matching Speedos and mask made up for summer.
Yes, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. At Maroon's request.
Like a leopard print.
Yeah.
Mask and Speedo combination.
He's a tasty morsel for a man his age. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And keeping in good shape and riding the Sea-Doo, flying the flag. It's time for this.
Triple M's Open Slather.
Open Slather. It's a brand new segment. It was not my idea
before
you start heckling it.
This has got your fingerprints over it.
It was Charlie White, our producer, who's just come to. And he said, why don't we do this? Open Slather, 133353. You call us
is
up.
Is this something that works at trivia where you just get at the end, you run out of questions, you go, okay,
mate,
I'm a bit of a big deal. You can ask me anything just to bring a bigger crowd.
Let me just say this. My trivia, we never run out of questions. That's why it's survived at 20 years.
You've run out on air quite a few
You've
times.
You've run out on air.
Two great venues, Wente and, of course, Ingleburn Bowling Club. 1-3-3-5-3.
Ingleburn Humperdinck.
That's a popular
You'll find he's Engelbert, not Ingleburn Humperdinck. It's not Ingleburn Humperdinck. Fair dinkum, mate. What are you on? Honestly.
I don't know.
Well, whatever you're in. Whatever it is. Let's go to Lugano.
Cough lollies.
1-3-3-5-3. Lugano. John, what would you like to say about the Dragons? You're a Dragons fan.
Hello, boys. Oh, does this mean I'm the inaugural open slather?
Yes.
Yes, John. Yes.
The microphone's yours.
Yeah.
No pressure. Boys, I just wanted to share a story. Look, I've been a Dragon supporter for over 50 years. Ticketed Red V member for 20 years this year. Sent a couple of emails off to Ryan Webb earlier in the week just expressing my opinions around what had happened over the whole COVID breach incident. Anyway, yesterday afternoon I get a phone call, pops up private number, and the voice says, "Oh, hi, John, it's Matt Dufty from the Dragons." Now, after I realised or verified that it wasn't one of my son's mates or anything like that, and it was in fact Matt Dufty, we had a good chat, and the purpose for his call was that he, presumably along with the other guys that had transgressed, were asked to reach out to various members to personally apologise for what they'd done. Now, we spent about 15 minutes on the phone. I told him what I thought about the whole situation. I also asked him a few questions about his involvement and the way it had been reported, and he gave me his side of the story, all very good. And I'm certainly not ringing to defend him or them, but I just thought after speaking to him for that 15 minutes, I took his apology and his remorse as very genuine. Certainly doesn't change my view on what happened, but I just think it's worth acknowledging him and the club for taking the effort to reach out like that, because that would have been a hard thing to pick up the phone and ring some random bloke and offer an apology. And as I say, he didn't just say, I'm ringing to say I'm sorry. He actually spoke, told me what had gone on, and even to the point where he told me he was in trouble with his mum and dad, which I think was probably the hardest thing for him.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point is that it's easy to bag them. We get all the negative stuff, but I think equally when we hear some good stuff like that, it's worth sharing. So that was the reason for my call.
Thank you, John.
I think we just need to end the segment there. Yeah. I don't think it can get any better than that. That's a great first call.
Mm. No, that was great, John, at Lugano there. And I think Matty Dufty's from around that way too, isn't he? He played for Renown. So good story there, 1-3-3-5-3. Let's get Michael on from Rose Bay. Michael, get up on your soapbox, old mate. This is open slather. What did you want to say?
I'm glad it's open slather. Let me tell you, I'm sitting in the rank out here trying to get my second job. I've done one job since 1 o'clock, earned a miserable $30, which will pay gas and the wash. And I'm listening to Gordy coming out in defence of those players having a beer. I mean, you've lost the plot there, Gordy, with that, because let me tell you, mate, you might have a massive case of sunstroke from Queensland. the situation that I see is every shop and retailer at the moment is in lockdown, in fact, going out the back door very quickly. We're struggling here on the road, and it's not about a case of them having a beer or sharing a beer, right? If they're allowed to have two or three beers, open up the whole of Rose Bay, the whole of Surrey Hills. Everybody can have beers. We're all back on track again. But that's not the case. We've got a pandemic. We've got a virus. There's a 90-year-old woman who's died overnight. Go and apologise to her and explain to her how everybody can have a beer. I mean, we've got people playing cards, for God's sake. You know, and mind you, I like the game of Texas Hold'em, like everybody. But we're all in lockdown, and that's what Gordy's got to realise. It's not the beer. It's the fact that they're doing a social event which is not recognisable or sanctioned by the government, and we're all putting up with restrictions that we wouldn't like to put up with, but we're doing it. Why are they exempt? Because they're footballers. Good. I mean, they're earning $800,000 a year. Yep. I'm earning $30 every 4 hours.
Yeah, good on you, good Michael. Point. Well said, mate. That's what it's all about, getting on there and just going for your life.
Yep.
Michael at Rose Bay, and of course he is driving either an Uber or a cab. So, and then that was a great segment. In fact, I will take credit for that.
That's Michael with a pair of twos just coming. Yeah. Didn't he go?
Good on you, Michael. I have to get you back on. We'll take a break.
Cards.
We'll come back and wrap it up.
What about that segment?
Triple M Rocks.
That segment is flying.
Triple M's NRL Primetime for Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge.
And, of course, one of our great sponsors is Ream Hot Water. As the great Wendell Saylor once said, he won't take a shower if he can't get under the Ream. A comprehensive selection of storage, continuous flow and solar options, and a massive range of six-star energy-efficient models. Hoops, do you have a Ream Hot Water system at your joint?
Oh, I've got a couple, Anthony. For the very best in hot water, you have to install a Ream. Over 80 years, Ream's been building Aussie Tough water heaters for Aussie conditions.
Do you still have that hot tub?
I do, and I know that you've got a couple of them in the Little Bay compound down at your place.
I just get in it with my mask on. Happy days. Ream Hot Water, proud supporters of Triple M NRL.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Okay, that's about it for us, boys. We've got Cronulla Warriors. Who wins this one, Ryan?
Come on, I think the Warriors are going to win. I'm going to tell you why.
I know. Don't tell me why. I don't have time. Why. What about you, Hoops? Who do you think?
Warriors.
And what about you, Gordon?
Warriors.
That's it for us. Thanks to C-Doo. We'll hand you over to Dan and the call team as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M's NRL primetime for Canadian Club. Over beer? Well, Canadian Club wants to stock your fridge. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.